Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. For more information regarding our ministry, please stay tuned until after the following message.
Praise the Lord. Let's get our Bibles this morning if you brought one. And short message today. John 19 this morning. Hallelujah. And let's stop off at verse 25 today. It just seems like we just had a Mother's Day a few months ago. It's been a year. The years are flying by fast, aren't they? And I've been told the older you get, the faster it goes. Seems to be so. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And they were all called Mary in those days, weren't they, as it seems. Now Mary Magdalene was the one, of course, whom the Lord cast out the seven devils. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, now we got Jesus on the cross, he's suffering, all right. And here they are at the foot of the cross, watching. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, that was John, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. I can't imagine the agony, grief, burden, sorrow that Mother Mary was experiencing in watching her son suffer on a cross. It's beyond my comprehension. But this is what was happening. And then verse 27, then said he to his disciple, that's John again, behold your mother. Now we've got to understand that Jesus was concerned about his mom even in his dying hours. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And history bears out the fact that he took care of Mary all the days of her life, and she lived to be a good old age. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, I want to stop there. And we overlooked the fact that he was concerned about his mom, but that was part of the all things now being accomplished. See, we forget about moms. It's easy to not visit as much as we should. Amen. Well, we have to work in this. I know, but you only got one mom. There'll never be another. Amen. So he included then his mother and the all things that were now accomplished. Then, of course, he quoted the scripture, I thirst. That was a prophetic statement. And to repeat, Mary suffered beyond comprehension from our viewpoint. I don't think anyone here has suffered like Mother Mary did. One thing, Jesus' half-brothers did not believe him. When I say half-brother, they all came to the womb of Mary, but Jesus had no earthly father. You understand that? So there were half-brothers. So then Jesus gives charge to John, the beloved, the one that seemed to be more humble, more obedient, because he was the one that Jesus picked out of Peter, James, and John. John was the one that was given the revelation and then wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So he was handpicked to the Lord to be the one to be trusted in that fashion. So John was to take care of Mary as his own mother. Now we talk about adopted children. Let's talk about an adopted mother here. Amen. And so he did exactly that. He took care of her until she passed away. Now, some teach that Mary had no sin. Now, I'm getting into a place here that people get upset with me and say that I bash other church doctrine, this and that. I'm not bashing any church doctrine or any preacher today. I'm just saying Mary was not sinless. But there are those churches that say that she was, and she didn't die and ascended into heaven. Hello? No. That isn't Bible. That isn't scriptural. And I think we can stop off for a second here and prove that briefly this morning. Anyway, she had the sin nature, like all humans. And therefore, the penalty is death. However, Mary was born again. Amen. And so, she used to be the Virgin Mary, but that only lasted until she gave birth. And then there were many more brethren, half-brothers. So she couldn't be the Virgin Mary today because there's no such thing. Furthermore, God has no mother. So you see, people mean well, churches mean well, but they're off in this area, and a little leaving will build up after a while, and then people will stray from true salvation. Jesus was not dependent upon Mary's sinlessness to be the Savior. Amen. Then we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 12 this morning. So we know that Jesus died on the cross according to the Scriptures, was buried, and was resurrected early before daylight Sunday morning. And then in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, we move on to the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost after the Gospels were written, continuing on in the time factor. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. This is not Judas Iscariot. These all continued. Now the next verse is very critical here. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Amen. And with his brethren. So, if Mary was sinless, why is she in the upper room waiting for the Holy Ghost? Amen. So, here she's in the upper room, and she's specifically mentioned as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Say amen to that. What she was. So, here they are, obeying the commandment of Christ. They're all in the upper room, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. Amen. The requirement to receive the Holy Ghost baptism was the new birth. Same today. If a person is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, their name in the book of life, they are a candidate to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized with or in the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it, for the purpose of power. Let me go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and we'll see what happened to Mary and all those in the upper room. And they were all filled. Amen. That includes the mother of Jesus. Amen. So when they say there was 120 in the upper room, that was 120 men. We don't know how many women folk and young people were there, so there's no need to speculate. We do know that the mother of Jesus was there, implying she had to be born again and then later filled with the Holy Ghost like all of those in that day. And it's the same today, people. Nothing's changed at all. Amen. Man, when you got a mother that's filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you are blessed. Amen. Now, there were times that my mother, I don't know, she got the switch after me. You didn't sass mama. No, I learned that when I was a kid. You don't sass mama because she can box your jaws. I will say that correctly. Never mind, that's a joke that I... That's a ministry blooper, and I've written down some ministry bloopers in 30 years, and one of these days we're going to have fun, and I'm going to read them off to you. How ridiculously funny it really was. So, Mary was there. She was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost also. Praise God. Amen. She didn't ascend as a sinless woman into heaven and usurp authority over Christ. She is not co-redemptor with Christ. We do not pray to Mary or any saints. Amen. We're to pray the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name by the Spirit. That's it. Now, there are times we can pray to the Lord Jesus. Do you remember... it isn't wrong to talk to the Savior. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, no, you're supposed to pray to Father God in Jesus' name. That's the only way. Well, tell Stephen that when he was being stoned. What did he say? He looked up and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That sounded like a prayer to me. Amen. Amen. Then there are times we should talk to the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't worship the Holy Ghost. We're to worship in the Holy Ghost. Much different than the charismatics. They begin to worship the gifts and this and that. All wrong. The gifts are to help us worship Christ. Only one way to worship, and that is in the Spirit and in truth. Half-truth is faulty worship. So we need to be careful about this, children of God. So, drop down to verse 17 of that same chapter, please, Acts chapter 2 today. There are even those that teach today that, well, you know, women folk are not to do anything in the church. You know, back in the biblical days, that the women folk would sit on this side and the men would sit on that side and segregated and, you know, and if the preacher was reading the scripture, and one of the ladies would say to her husband, what do you say? And it became disruptive in the church. You're not to speak out of turn. You don't have the floor. Parliamentary procedure is in order. Amen. And so Paul had to tell the women to be quiet. But it doesn't mean that women cannot speak in church, cannot pray in church, cannot teach, etc., etc., cannot prophesy. Amen. It's good to see a mother that prophesies. Because they can speak into the lives of their children. They can speak under inspiration to all the souls in the congregation. They can preach the gospel, etc., etc. Amen. So the 17th verse says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now, if a lady was supposed to keep quiet in church, how in the world can she prophesy? So you see, if we don't know how to write the divided word of God, we can get into this law keeping. And then bring condemnation when God never intended it to be that way at all. However, the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. Now I'm off. This is supposed to be Mother's Day. Amen. We need to understand these principles in the house of God. There is a certain way that a lady can get up and preach the gospel, prophesy, operate gifts, whatever, and not violate the authority of her husband. There's nothing worse than seeing a husband browbeat down here by a supposed super spiritual wife that's out of order. Now I'm getting upset. No, I'm not upset. I'm in a good mood. Maybe. But on the other hand, when things are done properly, it's a great blessing. See, the way I see it, the wife is called alongside to help the husband. Amen. That's why she's called helpmeet. Because we don't know what we're supposed to do. I've learned this about married folk. You know, the husband has certain qualities that the wife doesn't have. And then the wife has certain characteristics and qualities that the husband doesn't have. Why is that amen louder there than, or was it louder? So you see, but when you come together and operate as a team, Holy Spirit approves, and now you got three in manifestation. Amen. And by the way, the woman, the wife should never belittle her husband in public. I'm thinking back, the first church we pastored for about a year or two there. What's that been, a long time ago? And there was these people that, you know, they were in the wholeness persuasion, and we went over to visit with them one night, and we had a good little visit until he got up and left the room. Went out to feed the chickens or do something. And then his wife began to talk like he was a dirty dog. I mean the worst. That wasn't holiness. So you see, I've seen about everything there is to see. I'm not saying you don't have a right to have your say, but you are to honor your head. Amen. To dishonor your head, wives, is to disrespect the authority of Christ. Now, in the church, the pastor is the boss. You talk against that office, you're disrespecting the office of Christ. It's the same principle, but in a different way. Do you understand what I'm saying? True godly mothers understand these principles. But in the time and generation that we're living in, not only do we have to teach the children, but we've got to teach the parents, because nobody's taught them how to behave in the house of God. Amen. All things are to be done decently and in order. When I've watched people bring their kids to church, oh, they're running all over the place and doing cartwheels and somersaults, and I'm thinking, well, haven't they been taught how to behave in the house of the Lord? No, because they act that way at home. And I will say this, and I'm not picking people out, but Will and Jennifer, your kids are well behaved. And that says something to me. But when you got a screaming brat, and I know, Mama, your child can do no wrong, and your children are a little more advanced than everybody else's, I find that with the grandchildren. Oh, our, you know, Zach and Zella, you know, they're ahead of other kids. Not really. We still have a problem. I correct that. They had the problem. We've paid our dues, praise God. We've paid them. But you know, Mama, our kids, our angels can do no wrong. No, they're not perfect. They need to be taught. Amen. That's one thing about a mom. You know what? She, believe it or not, husbands, the wife runs the house. You might think you wear the pants. No, she runs the house. When she says, come and get it, you go eat the food, right? You don't run the house. Some of you men, well, I run the house. Yeah, you run the vacuum cleaner. Yeah, you run the dishwasher. Uh-huh. But when it comes to what happens in the house, she runs things. And you're out the door. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what, everybody? No one can take the place of your mama. Your mama carried you in the womb for 9 long months. Some of you 10, but you know, most of you 9. And I've never had a child, but I'm told the last 3 months of pregnancy is not fun. No. I remember when when my wife, I think it was Seth or Chanel? I don't remember now, but I was watching Star Trek. Man, it was a good show, about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I was getting into that thing. Man, it was good. Then my wife goes, Randy, what? My water just broke. And now, how many of you women know what that means, my water just broke? I've learned what that means. And then I couldn't find any clothes to put on. Where's this? Where's that? And she's going, my water's broke. What about the show? You know, and then it's just... And then when they're having the baby in the hospital and you go in there and try to comfort them, she goes, get out of here. Not really. But I've heard stories that, you know, would make your hair stand up. Well, let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15, please. She shall be saved in childbearing. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Yeah. They continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Amen. She shall be saved in childbearing. But back there in Genesis 3:16, we see part of the pronounced curse from God. Unto the woman, he said, that was, you know, Eve, of course, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. Maybe that's why some mamas cry when they say the rabbit died. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Yes, amen. That's the word. Hallelujah. Well, it is the word. Amen. I'm told in wartime that when men are dying on the battlefield, they call out for mom. Someone said when children are young and growing up, they have mom's heart. But later, the kids step on mom's heart. But as I said a while ago, for a mother, their children can do no wrong. And if I do something wrong, oh, it's not so bad. That's a mom, blind to her own children's sinfulness. Yeah? God knows all about it. Well, my child's not sinful. You better look again. I learned years ago that children can lie at a young age. I told you not to get any more cookies out of that cookie jar. Didn't I tell you? Yes. Did you get them out? No. And they got cookie crumbs all over their face. Lied to you. Now, mom, you got to do something about that. Don't let it slide. Because on down the road, it'll get worse. See, mother has a firm but lenient hand. Amen. It's a terrible thing when moms let their children run her. But what do you want to do? They don't know what they want to do. That's as bad as a preacher. What do y'all want to do? No, the preacher says, this is what we're going to do. Same way with parents. This is what we're going to do. You're going to go to the lake and you're going to swim and get a sunburn and that's it. Hopefully no sunburn. A mom gives most of her life for her children. I've noticed that we live our lives around our kids. Don't we? Listen for their cry from the cradle right on up. We watch for their text. Mm-hmm. Seth can get me in a good mood before church, send me some video. Oh. But it's true, the mother gives her life for her children. I saw a little video on Facebook where this bird was going to get run over by the tractor. You see that, anybody? Puts your wings out and shelters the babes, even though she might die. That says something to me. You know, a mother will actually give her life for a child. A real mom. They work. A mother's job is never over. Never. Washing, cooking, rubbing the husband's feet. I'm joking. Everybody say I'm joking, everybody. But really, it's never over. And, you know, they get tired and weary, and we need to respect them and honor them for what they do in life. Amen? But you see, mothers give their life to their children, but later, the children might give some of their life for their mom. Usually the husband goes first, and the widow's left. That's the data, that's the stats. Sometimes it's not that way. We've got a few widowers here in the church, but you know, most of the time the man leaves first, and there the widow is left. Well, hopefully if you got some kin somewhere, that'll help out in life's journey, and you've got the church. And I'll say this to the widows. Whatever you need, you let me know. If I don't have it in the bank, I'll figure out a way to get it. We'll take care of you one way or the other. Amen. Titus chapter 2, we'll quit with this morning, but I've thought about this a lot, and sad to say, this is part of life. It doesn't have to go this way, but sometimes it does go this way. And it's a sobering thought, I'm going to say now. You know, when a child is young, mama changes the diaper. Now, I've changed a few diapers in my life. But when a surprise is there, I usually, hey, hon, No, I've changed a few, what I call shoo-shoo diapers. We call them shoo-shoo. Everybody say shoo-shoo. You can speak in tongues, you know. We would ask the kids, you got a shoo-shoo on? They knew exactly what we were talking about, right? Because somebody would go, shoo, like that. And we picked up on that slang, and, you know, it's just the warped mind of the Davises. That's just the way it is. But later on in life, sad to say, the child might change mom's diaper. You got to think about that. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Titus 2 and verse 3, everyone's real fired up today. This isn't supposed to be a fired up thing. If you got a mom and she's alive, you need to thank God for her. Amen. Because some of us don't have a mom anymore. And there's only one. Nobody can take the place of your mom. Honor her. Amen. Titus 2 and verse 3 then. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's God's will for mothers today. And if that's you, thank God for you. Because there's a lot of little kids that don't have any parents. No mama. I'm thinking of 600 orphans right now. We sent some money over to Uganda to those people. And he told me they hadn't had anything to eat for lunch for 2 months. And we sent them some money over there to buy some food. And I've got $900 cash to hand carry to give to the bishop when I go to Kenya in July for those children. And this work right here is changing the lives of people. Changing. I mean, they buy school supplies and, you know, we put a roof on their building and, you know, on and on we can go. And I don't talk much about it, but I just want you to know that if a person doesn't have a mother, the church is to step up and, you know, do something for those kids. Amen. And that's what we do, best we can. Let's stand to our feet today. Praise.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry and mission, please visit us online at zwmi.com. Once again, that's zwmi.com. Or visit us on Facebook at Zion Word Ministries International.